You're welcome to open the Bible in John chapter 6, verse 22. And we're going to read all the way to, no, not all the way, but we're going to get to verse 36 eventually. Verse 22, now for introduction only, we're going to read until verse 24. Jesus, the bread of life. Church, I have good news for you. After, this is my third year as a pastor of this church, and in this third year, we will have an Advent season sermon. Thank you for everybody who has told me, Gustavo, in this place we do Advent season sermons. And I'm a good guy. I listen. After a lot of struggle, I eventually listen. And next week we're going to have Advent sermon. And this is a great introduction for our Advent season. Jesus is the bread of life. You're going to know that very soon. Let us read verse 22, all the way to verse 24. The next day, the crowd that had stayed on the opposite shore of the lake realized that only one boat had been there and that Jesus had not entered it with his disciples, but that they had gone away alone. Then some boats from Tiberias landed near the place where the people had eaten the bread after the Lord had given thanks. Once the crowd realized that neither Jesus nor his disciples were there, they got into the boats and went to Capernaum in search of Jesus. Just as an introduction, these verses, let us have a word of prayer. Lord Jesus, give us grace to understand, heed, and live truly the bread of life in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So church, as an introduction, as we read here, we are reading from John, and John's gospel has one goal. John wants to prove to you that Jesus, it's more than a rabbi, it's more than a miraculous maker, it's more than a good preacher, Jesus is God. That's the goal. And the verb and the word of God became flesh and walked among us. That's the goal. That's the thesis of John. We are around, Christmas season is around the corner. Everybody benefits from Christmas season. Atheists, non-believers, another religion. Everybody wants to eat turkey and have holidays. Yes or no? Everybody. Right? Everybody benefits. Not everybody understands Christmas. That God has become flesh. Not everybody understands it. Next slide, please. The miracle of the bread, we saw it two sermons ago, and it is the miracle he referred here. John is trying to tell you, Jesus performed the miracle. Everybody ate the bread. Everybody ate the fish that Jesus multiplied. But people did not understand that Jesus is God. And that's why now they are chasing Jesus. Not because they miss Jesus. Not because they know Jesus. Only because they want more bread. Jesus, the bread you have given us yesterday, it's gone. We need more bread. So they are chasing Jesus without knowing who is Jesus. How did Jesus get to the other side, church? We know that the multitude got to the other side by boats. We know that the disciples got to the other side from the miraculous place where the 5,000 bread and 5,000 fish were given to the multitude. The disciples got from that point to the other point by boat. How did Jesus get to the other side? He doesn't need boat. He walks on the water. That's our last sermon. Do you remember that? He walked on the water. And why did he do that? So that his disciples, who are slow to understand, understand that Jesus is God. Just as in the beginning, the Spirit of the Lord was hovering on the face of the waters, Jesus now in the New Testament walks and hovers on the face of the water. He's telling his disciples, I'm more than just a miraculous maker. I'm God. That's what he's saying. Now, as we're going to see the title of the sermon and this conversation, Jesus is the bread of life. And Jesus is going to speak in plain English, recording his words very openly and plainly. Guys, you guys did not understand the bread. You guys did not understand the walking on the water. If you guys don't understand, let me be clear. I am the bread of life. I am God. That's what Jesus is doing here. That's all this transition is all about. And from now on, all we're going to see is Jesus explaining his divinity to everyone. It is easy to understand this text, church, because this text... can I have the next slide? This text is governed by questions and answers. It is the multitude from one side asking Jesus questions, and Jesus from the other side replying the questions. So let us see here the first question we find in John chapter 6, verse 25 and verse 27. Let us read with me, still with your Bible open. Verse 25 says this. When they found him on the other side of the lake, they asked him, Rabbi, please, church, very quickly repeat with me, Rabbi. Okay, good. When did you get here? Jesus answered, I tell you the truth, you're looking for me not because you saw miraculous signs, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, in which the Son of Man will give you. On him, God the Father has placed his seal of approval. So, church, this first question they ask, and I made you repeat Rabbi with me, it is a fake question. They're easily asking Jesus, how did you get here? When did you get here? Quote, we miss you, Rabbi. That's what they're saying. It amazes me, church, that Jesus does not answer their question. Jesus dodges the question. Jesus changes the subject right away. You guys are not looking for me because you guys want to know how did I get here. You guys are looking for me with wrong intentions. You guys are thinking of your stomach, not with your heart. Your mind, it's here. Your mind is not there. You guys need to pursue me with the correct heart. That's what Jesus is saying. And Jesus going to direct them with verse 27 saying what? Do not work for food that spoils stomach here. Work for food that is eternal there, heart. And then Jesus going to say, because this spirituality, the one God has sent, the Messiah, I have God's seal of approval. And I love the idea of the seal because it makes things very easy to understand. If you go to the supermarket and you're going to buy bread, since we're talking about bread, and the bread is open and the seal is broken, will you buy that bread? Never. There is no protection. The ownership, it's kind of little wishy-wash, and it may be contaminated. Jesus tells everybody, the way you guys are pursuing me with your stomach, that doesn't have the seal of approval of God. But if you look at me, if you see me, if you believe in me, you will find that I have the seal of approval of the Father. And makes things very easy for us to understand, because that same seal that approves Jesus is the language the Bible chooses to use to approve you and to approve me. We saw this when we studied Ephesians. What is the seal that makes you, that testifies you, that proves that you are a Christian, that you are going to heaven? The seal of the Holy Spirit. What makes you a Christian? It is not your confession of faith. It is not your church attendance. What makes you a Christian? Do you have the Holy Spirit or not? Is the fruit of the Holy Spirit in your life or not? Is the mindset of the Holy Spirit in you or not? If I test your life, if you test my life, what are we going to find? A bunch of rules? A bunch of discipline? Or are we going to find the Holy Spirit in you, in your life, in your actions, in your heart? Are you following me? I'll need to ask again. Are you following me? If I confess I believe in Jesus, I need to live like He lives. If I'm confessing to be a member of this church, I need to be where? Good. What is the seal of approval? What it's from above. What it's spiritual. Not what it's carnal. Yes or no, church? We pursue Jesus not with our stomach. How do we pursue Jesus? With the Spirit. With that being said, pay attention to the second question. The ignorance question. Look at Jesus redirecting their understanding. These are not people who don't know the Bible. They do. They're just ignorant about the Bible. Verse 28, verse 29. Then they asked him, "What must we do to do the works God requires?" Verse 29. Jesus answered, "The work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent." Their question, church, it is the universal ignorant question of humanity. What do I need to do to be saved? And what does the Bible tell you? Believe. Repent. Receive. Salvation you don't work. Salvation you don't earn. Salvation you don't deserve. Salvation you receive. Are you following me? Look how Jesus is changing their mindset. Next question. The sign question. What was the sign? We just spoke about it in the first point. What was the sign that God, Jesus, has the approval of the Father? Because Jesus was anointed by the Holy Spirit, and Jesus is doing the works of the Holy Spirit. If God saves, Jesus saves. If God forgives, Jesus forgives. If humanity is in death, Jesus can provide the living water. Jesus can provide the bread of life. What is the seal that you and I, we are Christians? Not what you do, not what I do, but if the Spirit of God is alive in me and it is alive in you. Here comes the combo question. The ignorance and the wrong heart kind of question all together. Who likes McDonald's? You know, when you go to McDonald's, you need to buy a combo. If you buy the burger, it's more expensive than the combo. You guys know that. These tricky American people. Okay, come back. This is the combo question. It is a mix of falsehood with ignorance. Let us read verse 30 to verse 33. Verse 30. So they asked him, "What miraculous sign then will you give that we may see it and believe you? What will you do? Our forefathers ate the manna in the desert, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Jesus said to them, I tell you the truth, it is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." The sign question, church, it is an incredible question, and we only believe it because we read it. What happened one day ago in the story, there was a sign. The people saw what Jesus did. The people ate the miracle. Why on earth are they asking for another sign? So church, let us be honest here and vulnerable. Who likes to be vulnerable? No, not many people like. So if everybody raise their hand, I'm not going to believe it on you. Not everybody likes to be vulnerable. If we are honest, we need more than one sign to believe. We need to read and read and read and read. And then we believe. Is it just me or you as well? Okay. So if we are honest and naive, we don't spot the problem of the heart of these people. We just think they want another sign like you, like I did. But that's not what is happening here. You see that Jesus spot their hearts right away. They are asking for another sign and Jesus is not giving it. Why is Jesus not giving to them another sign? They don't want another sign to believe in Jesus. That's not what they want. They don't want that Jesus healed the leper, that Jesus walks on the water. They want a very specific sign. We want the sign of the bread. Why? We don't want to believe in you. We just want to feed our empty stomach. Jesus spots that. And this falsehood of their request, it's mixed with ignorance because they quote the Bible to Jesus. Where are you? Where are my people of prayer in this church? Have you ever prayed to God and you quote the scriptures against God? God, you need to do this. Your word says, God. How many of you wrestling with God like Jacob wrestled with God? God, you promised me you will bless me. Those things are healthy, church. So They are quoting scriptures against Jesus. And Jesus is the Word of God Himself. Our forefathers ate manna. Moses gave manna to our forefathers. Will you, Jesus? Will you perform that sign? Will you feed us every day? Can we trust our stomach is going to be full when we wake up in the morning? And Jesus corrects their ignorance. He directs their hearts, and He has been doing this from the beginning. Moses did not give you bread from heaven. Moses only benefited from the miracle. Everybody in the Old Testament would sleep, would wake up, and just like the leaves on the floor, many people go and grab the bread. What did Moses do? Nothing. Who gave the bread? God. And that's where Jesus is taking the people. People, look yesterday. How did I make the miracle? With my own hands. I am the one who gave the manna in the Old Testament. It is from my capable hands that all the supply comes from. My hands makes miracles. I am God. I am God. And with that revelation that you're in front of God, He made a miracle. He walked the water. He's plainly saying in very clear English, stop thinking of your stomach. Stop thinking of earthly things. Think of the things of above. They don't believe. Look at the fourth question. Remember, what was the word I made you repeat with me in the sermon? Let's see who has a good memory. Say it loud, loud. Help the congregation. Rabbi. Let us read the next verse, church. Verse 34. What is the first word that it's there? Sir. It came down a little bit, right? Pastor Gustavo is no more. It's just Gustavo. Goose, I'm talking to you. These people already gave up on Jesus. We came asking you for a miracle for our stomach. Jesus gave what? A spiritual answer. They already gave up Jesus. You don't even need to read the rest of the text. You know they did. But let us read, because we are faith readers of the Bible. Let us read verse 34. Sir, they said, from now on, give us this bread. Then Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty. But as I told you, you have seen me, and still you do not believe. You have seen, You have eaten, you have heard, but you still don't believe. Everybody enjoys Christmas, yes or no? How many know who Jesus is and the real meaning of Christians, of Christmas? Very little. Very little. Do we have the conclusion? Look, this is going to be a spiritual answer of Jesus. Do we have the conclusion slide? I need you, church, to see that this conversation, it is a carnal conversation versus a spiritual conversation about the same situation, about a miracle, about Jesus, about the Bible. Everybody believes in the same thing. Everybody benefits from the same thing. Everybody has similar words, similar hymns, similar habits, but are two different, an ocean apart from realities. One is the stomach, one is carnal, the other it is spiritual, real, approved by God. That's where Jesus is landing here. And here, it's very good. Because Jesus is saying, I am the bread of life. And that is a statement that only Jesus can do. All we can say, our I am, it's very limited. That's our statement. The crowd, you, me, anybody. What's your statement? I am hungry. Do you remember to be saved first, you need to repent? Do you remember to be saved first, you need to confess your bankruptcy? To be saved, we first need to understand that we are hungry. The statement, I am the bread of life, doesn't feed us. In our hearts, there is a hole that has the size of God. And only God can fill that hole. That's a very good spot for amen. Only Jesus. There's no food, there's no miracle, there is no blessing, there is nothing can fulfill that void. That's our statement. I'm hungry. And look at Jesus' statement. I am. His I am, it's completely different. The bread of life. What is the bread? It is provision. What is life? It's not provision for now. It is provision always. Yesterday, today, tomorrow. He is our provision. What is the aim? I am. It is the unique, exclusive name of God. You exist. I exist. The chair exists. The organ exists. The mic exists. God does not exist. God is above and beyond existence. God is. And when you eat from the bread of life, because you believe in the bread of life, your past is forgiven. Your present is at peace. Your future is filled with hope, because He is the bread of life. The great I am. Tell me if you understood this. Now I invite you, you know that since we are talking about food, it is not my job to give you the food ready. My job is to make you prepare the food and eat as well. Okay? Do we have another slide? Let me just double check. No, we don't. Okay, it's fine. Did you pay attention to this story? It is similar to another story John has spoken. It is two chapters before. The lady on the well. Just wave so I know it rings the bell. Do you remember the lady on the well? She made a similar request. Sir, I don't know if she called him sir. She probably called him something more respectful. Give me always that water. Do you remember that request of the lady of the well? These people made the same request of the lady of the well. Sir, give me always this bread. Why we have two different outcomes? The lady of the well saved, and her village got saved. And why do we have these people with the same request, with the same Jesus, with the same sermon, disbelieving Jesus? And I'm going to walk there because that's where we're going to end. And as I walk, you think about the answer, okay? Why two different outcomes for the same scenario? Should I walk slowly or quick? Do you know the answer? Do you think of the answer? The Sermon on the Mount, you know the answer. The Sermon on the Mount is the answer. What is the first beatitude of all? Blessed those who hunger, thirst for justice, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Both of them, the lady on the well and the multitude, said the same thing. One was hungry with the stomach. The lady was hungry with the heart. That's where you have the different outcome. And that's my prayer for you. That's my prayer for me. And everybody says, amen. Lord Jesus, give us a vibrant faith. And as Christmas approach, Lord, stirs us up from the inside out, Lord. We love you. We love your word. And we are hungry for you, Lord. Amen. Amen.